Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star 1 to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And also would like to remind all participants, if you do not have the presentation, please email dkmorris@us.ibm.com. And now I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Jared Potts. Sir, you may begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jared Potts. I'm your local storage evangelist. And not taking anything away from Mr. Luco, we're going to go ahead and get started. I just want to introduce Mr. Luco, who's been around for quite a long time, and is, as far as competitive situation is concerned, is your new best friend, not afraid to go after any of our competitors, including Symantec. So with that, we'll go ahead and talk about the Clash of the Titans and how we can take Symantec to their knees. Mr. Luco?
Yeah, thanks very much, Jarrett. This is Steve Luco. I'm in the Product Management and Strategy Group in Tivoli Storage, and we're here today to talk about Symantec and how you can beat them out in the field in two key areas, in backup and in storage resource management. We're going to spend most of our time in backup and recovery because, frankly, that's really where most of the competitive action is, and most of the revenue is out there. And really, the reason that is because that's where most of our customer issues and problems are. And that's why the market is so active there and why we want to talk about it. So on page 2, why don't we get started by talking about how Symantec generally attacks so that we can later talk about how to repel them. Symantec has been leaning on their leadership status in the backup market for several years now. They have rolled up, a market share that's, quite substantial over the years, a little over 40%, but they've been losing market share, and Net Backup in particular took a one-point hit, and Backup Exec took nearly a one-point hit, and Tivoli Storage Manager gained a couple of points in 08, and we believe the same thing happened in 09. We don't quite have that data yet. And there are several reasons, why that is going on. And I think part of it, you could probably look back and talk about the fact that when Veritas got acquired by Symantec, some things changed for Veritas in terms of sort of the focus that their overall company was, putting on the market space. I don't think there's any question now that, while Symantec, after paying $13.5 billion for Veritas, at one point they really thought that they could make something of storage and security, and they really haven't really done much. We'll talk about what they've done in a moment, but they are focused on the security market as a company. The security market is obviously something that over the past several years, with the way the world has evolved, turned into a very hot space that is of national interest. And when your CEO is called to the White House and you're talking with officials about what your products can do to help maintain Western civilization, it gets your attention as a corporation and focuses it. And part of the portfolio is going to gain from that security, and part of the portfolio storage is going to be overlooked. And over time, you're just not going to put the energy in. It's going to show in your results. And I think that is exactly what is going on with Symantec. One of the ways that they like to promote themselves is in storage is being vendor agnostic. This goes back to the days of being a file system and a volume manager vendor with their storage foundation that they were fairly successful with back in the 90s and somewhat unifying the Unix space. They try and leverage that those relationships a lot, but recently in the quarterly earnings statement for Oracle, Larry Ellison, who had just canceled as many of you probably know, Oracle acquired Sun, And, you know, Larry Ellison was going through the Sun portfolio and deciding how things were going to be handled in terms, especially in terms of the OEM relationships. And he canceled some very important OEM relationships that Sun had had, including the Hitachi disk relationship. And then sort of out of the blue, out of nowhere, he came up with that quote there. Sun used to resell Veritas backup. We make the money reselling that product, but we have no value, and so we're out of that business. So now that Symantec Veritas doesn't have Sun as a partner anymore, it's just going to weaken their approach to the market even more from their lack of momentum that had been going on. Symantec Corporate, when they, as I was talking about a moment ago, when they do talk about storage, it's really about the intersection between storage and security. And after a $13.5 billion acquisition of Veritas by Symantec, it only took them 5 years, but they brought out their first product, Data Insight, which is a product that helps them identify, you know, the misuse of data. So nothing really, really earth-shaking there to justify, I think, their acquisition. Now, the Symantec Storage Group, of course, they're not going to lay down and take this. You know, they're essentially fighting for their lives inside of Symantec. They've, you know, had cuts, you know, over time to, you know, trim them down and make them a profit engine for, you know, for Symantec to fund Symantec's, you know, ventures into security. So they're not going to go down quietly. They're going to do what they can to sell, you know, what they have. And part of their mantra is, you know, deduplication everywhere. We'll talk about what everywhere means to them and what it doesn't mean to customers. Symantec Storage Group also talks about virtualization in the backup market there. They make a lot of hay out of the fact that they were the first major vendor with granular support for VMware. Through the VMware, you know, vStorage API, the latest generation of VMware, and we'll talk about what the issues and the responses are there. Symantec also likes to talk about their open storage, you know, API that they have with the deduplication hardware vendors, and they like to talk about the fact that their software, you know, works, you know, well with deduplication hardware targets. From, you know, Data Domain, Fujitsu, you know, Greenbytes, and other, you know, deduplication hardware vendors that have went out and coded to their Open Storage API. And essentially what this Open Storage API does is it speeds up how fast the target can ingest data from the backup software. And what Symantec states is that when you use NetBackup and Data Domain together with the Open Storage API, the Data Domain box can ingest data twice as fast. Well, I guess that's good because, as Symantec themselves says, that solution, when you use NetBackup with Data Domain, is twice as expensive as using a software-only approach. So it's sort of an unusual marketing ploy that they've got going there, where they, you know, promote the use of the OST on one hand, and then vigorously, you know, go after it against the hardware VTL vendors in trying to provide a software solution only themselves. They also talk about their replication CDP with real-time as improving their backup methodology. It comes from their Revivio acquisition of several years ago. They really had poor take-up of the technology. They're trying to marketing, a self-described marketing gimmick now, of including the free use of real-time to replicate the NetBackup metadatabase for disaster recovery to get the customers, you know, interested in using it. And once, of course, they've made the investment in learning how to use it, Symantec hopes they will buy the extension for regular use. Another way that Semantic Storage Group is selling themselves now is talking about the unification of their management infrastructure with OpsCenter. OpsCenter is a combination of the Network Operations Manager and the Veritas Backup Reporter into OpsCenter, and it's clearly right now works well in terms of the administration because it is the former administration of NetBackup. And they're trying to expand it so that it can manage Enterprise Vault and Backup Exec. The Backup Exec team doesn't seem to be too eager to adopt that interface, and it's really being pushed out of NetBackup. So in the trenches, I'm sure a lot of what is seen in the field is really the historical arguments that have been going on for, I don't want to say for decades, but I guess, when you talk about the fact that it's been going on over 15 years, you round up, it has been going on for a couple of decades, really. NetBackup, Symantec, they like to talk about the fact that of claiming the high ground in terms of having a three-tier, architecture, master server, a media server, and clients, for scalability, and such. And the way that they, come back against the incremental claim forever for Tivoli Storage Manager is they like to talk about synthetic backup. They like to talk about synthetic backup as a way to solve the, legacy issues that their architecture creates of the need to do, a periodic, full backup. And we'll talk about that, in a moment and give you a way to challenge that. So on page three is just a very quick overview of the backup products for organizations that Symantec, has. Obviously, they do have, the Norton, line for the home. But on the high end, they've got NetBackup, which they position, for, companies of there are 500 people, 50 servers, and obviously a specialized, backup team because of the complexity of the product. Got Backup Exec, in the middle for, really the SMB market. And then the Backup Exec System Recovery, commonly known as BESR, and they market this for companies that have no IT staff. A moment ago, when we were talking about the market share for Symantec, one of the things that I think that really helps put that in perspective. You may ask yourself why is market share so important? Market share is so important because it shows how much revenue is going into a company and how much money they have to fund new development and maintain the product and support it. That's important because over time markets tend to consolidate and the number of vendors go down and the large winners emerge that can efficiently provide the best products and services, and IT software is really no different than any other market, and that is definitely happening. So when we talked about Symantec's market share with NetBackup and Backup Exec, that is fairly evenly split, between those products. I think NetBackup sells a little bit more, than Backup Exec. And so when you put the Tivoli Storage Manager market share, up there and compare it, it's Tivoli Storage Manager is actually creeping up on Backup Exec and realistically could overtake it for the number two share product in the space. So I guess it's a long way of saying that, Symantec can't throw everything they've got into making, one of the products, the best it can be. They've got to split their resources up and, nurse their market shares along with their install base for Backup Exec and NetBackup, and it presents a challenge for them. And that's what we see with OpsCenter in trying to, give them a single interface everywhere they can. They're trying to do what they can to have one set of development resources that supports both technologies, but both technologies were built up from different code bases, acquired from different companies, from multiple companies over time, when you throw the replication products in there. So it's really quite a challenge for them. And when you contrast that with the fairly organic nature of Tivoli Storage Manager, it's really quite a difference in our architecture. Okay, so perspective on net backup on chart four. net backup, it was designed, at a certain time back, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s, when it was another company that Veritas would go on to acquire. Things were a lot different in IT then. Applications were almost always, in the data center. The backup was the tape. And really the focus was on backup. It wasn't so much on in backup performance. It wasn't so much on restore. It was, can we, in fact, back our systems up, in time to be able to, begin production, again the next day. So if we go into page five, we can really take a look at, what has changed over the past, 15 or 20 years since, net backup was originally, designed. It's not the fact that it was designed, 15 or 20 years ago. It's just what it was designed for then and how it's aged, I think, contrasts against Tivoli Storage Manager in a unique sort of a way. So really now what we see is, application systems are in the data center and remote locations. It's very rare that you'd ever run across a situation where it's all about backing up, what's in the data center. And if it is, you need to ask the client, is it really just about the data center? There are numerous studies that have been published that have shown that there's a lot of, innovation in data that are out in the remote locations, and the backup teams may not be focusing on protecting that data, and you might need to point out that it's actually possible and economical today to go out to the remote locations and make sure that data is highly secure in an automatable, repeatable fashion that doesn't expose the data to security problems as you always get the picture in your mind of a non-IT person loading a tape and then unloading a tape at the end of the job and then either taking it in their car, to their house and putting it in their basement or in the most professional organizations, putting it on the Iron Mountain truck and having it be transported to the local Iron Mountain facility where it's stored at great expense in a big building. Unfortunately, and this is not to pick on, one company in particular, just the nature and the risk of physical transport, in and of itself, means that occasionally data is going to be lost. And I think we've, seen in all the papers that occasionally data is lost and, bank records or even health records, have had possible exposure from that. Another way that things have changed over the past 15 or 20 years in terms of, backup to tape now really is seen more for archive and disaster recovery and some non-critical apps. There has been a great revolution in the backup market space over the past few years in terms of what we call backup redesign, and having, backup go to disk now. And the factors that are driving that are a couple. One is the fact that disk prices have, gone down, quite a bit. And the other, and probably the more important one, is the fact that we really just can't afford to have applications, down, that long. And there's a big drive to backup to disk so that you can do, recovery, quickly, which really is the next bullet that, backup performance, is important, but really it needs to be balanced so that it just meets the windows. And restore performance has become, very important to meet, business service level requirements, which are often now negotiated between IT and the and user groups. Okay, so on page six. Let's talk about the semantic, response, to the changes, over time and what they had done. So we talked about the fact that they've got this legacy architecture with differential and incremental backups that require, you know, periodic, you know, full backups. The periodic full backups need large amounts of CPU and more importantly, huge amounts of network bandwidth. And it's often this for the remote locations where the problem lies, because the wide area network bandwidth, you know, while it has come down, you know, in price, it definitely hasn't come down as fast as our ability to store, you know, data on disk and our ability to generate data that is stored on disk. And often the periodic full backups for the remote locations are what drive organizations to need to upsize their wide area networks, which can be a very expensive, you know, undertaking, you know, for them. So what Symantec did was they, you know, came out with the idea of having synthetic full backups. And synthetic full backups really are just saying that if we do our incremental, you know, backups that we've been doing, and then we apply them, you know, at the server, we never need to do a periodic full because we can keep, you know, current. The problem with this, and it's amazing to me that their ability to carry off synthetic full backups is really seldomly, you know, ever questioned. And it turns out there are actually many restrictions on the use of synthetic backups, and you really have to ask yourself if they're, you know, really, you know, practical, you know, or not. Because what synthetic fulls, you know, do is they really don't eliminate periodic fulls. They just make them happen less often and fewer and farther, you know, in between. And the problem with depending on a synthetic full is that, are you really going to depend on it, you know, or not? Are you really going to depend on never having to do it? And that means not sizing your network so that you don't have to do a periodic full. You know, because if you don't size your network to do that, and you run into one of the occasions that requires you to do a periodic full, then what you've got is you've got, you know, data exposure, assuming that you're going to shut down your backups and run your applications, which most shops would gamble on. But it would be a gamble. So, you know, either you have to size your resources for periodic fulls or take that gamble and that data exposure is going to happen. So on 7, this is sort of one of those weeds charts, and we're not going to, you know, go over every one of these, you know, line items, but, you know, this is the list that talks about why synthetics are ineffective and something that really, you know, can't be depended on. And Symantec, you know, themselves, they actually talk about the fact that the synthetic fulls really don't pay off in terms of a resource, you know, reward, you know, effort. If there's a lot of change, you know, they just say, you know, use the traditional architecture if there's a lot of change. You know, they don't track deleted files. They must use the true image restore option, which requires more disk space and slows performance. The fourth bullet is, you know, pretty interesting to me, because one of the ways that Symantec, you know, made their name back in the late 90s in what I would call the you know, the paper tiger you know, backup wars, where all the vendors were hiring you know, consulting firms and loading up huge Unix systems and you know, that were, you know, multi-core systems with as many tape drives as they could get behind it, and to show, you know, the ultimate throughput of their backup product. And in one of the ways that, you know, Symantec sort of you know, came to be, you know, known in the marketplace was in their backup performance to tape. And it actually turns out that with synthetic fulls, you can't use that multiplexing, and so, you know, you're taking away one of the things that, you know, they became, you know, known for. So there, you know, there are a couple other things on there. One of the things, the second bullet to the bottom, I think probably deserves just a moment of mention, is the fact that synthetic foals don't work with their open storage OST, API. So if you want to use an intelligent disk target like data domain or protect here, behind your net backup. You can't use synthetic foals, and you're stuck with doing periodic foals. So obviously, this call is really focused on the competition, and we're sort of making the assumption here that everybody knows the basics. But if anybody needs a reminder on that or is pretty new to the area, Tivoli Storage Manager doesn't use synthetic full backups. It doesn't need to. It's based on a much more advanced architecture of incremental, forever, because basically we're tracking things at a more granular, level than semantic net backup, and don't need to do the periodic fault. And so we avoid, all those issues. Okay. So sometimes you may find that you can attack semantic if they come back and challenge, the fundamental leadership of our great technology in Tivoli Storage Manager in data reduction. We've been leading in that market space for about 20 years now with our incremental forever architecture. We'll talk about how we have expanded that leadership in a moment. The competitors haven't been able to catch up. But, if the answer from Symantec is synthetic foals, you can choose to go after and battle in there, in the weeds if you need to. I'd like to talk about a couple of different other ways to sort of up-level the argument that makes it just a little bit easier, I think, to understand and maybe a little more cogent and germane for customers. Okay. So what was Symantec's second response here on page 8 to the changing nature of the data center? So in 19, they acquired data center technologies or Pure Disk, which was one of the first generation companies that used deduplication, and it had client and server side deduplication, standalone solution. And at first, they integrated it loosely into net backup. And then when we say loosely integrated it into net backup, they just basically made it so that they could run a Pure Disk agent on net backup and do the deduplication of the media server. And it wasn't really that practical. Had two user interfaces, so it's like you were planning, buying, and building and setting up two independent separate products. In net backup 7 that they Symantec announced earlier this year, they changed fairly substantially the architecture of Pure Disk. They made it a media server, in net backup, and they made it so that you could actually control that media server with the same, command structure and interface that you controlled the rest of net backup. And it really does look, a lot like the other media servers in the way that you would, work with it, today. So they got rid of the, that ugliness and made it a simpler, install. And it is client and server-side deduplication, but some key, limitations, that remain that really make it unusable for how the data center has evolved in the way that we've talked about it, and we'll talk about why. All right. So on page 9, we talk about the weaknesses of semantic net backup, deduplication. And the first thing, and this is the most important thing that I'm going to tell you today, and it's the one thing that I'd like you to remember if you don't remember anything else, okay, is that Symantec strongly recommends in no uncertain terms, in writing, in their documentation, that the net backup client-side deduplication brought by the new Pure Disk media server not be used for remote offices. All right? So a while ago, we talked about the fact that so much data is out there in remote locations, you know, and Symantec's got this this technology, you know, that sounds a lot like TSM, clinical client side and server side deduplication, but it's really nothing like it, okay, at this point. And it's nothing like it because the net backup client can't handle the latency or the amount of time that's introduced to transmit data over a wide area network compared to over a local area network. And that's why Symantec, and really, you know, to their credit, they don't want to go out and, you know, anger their install base. They've, you know, they're very cautiously or reasonably, I would say, saying it's not ready for prime time here. Don't use it. It won't work because of the latency issues make the throughput, you know, totally unacceptable. So that's the one thing that that you need to take away from this call. They don't have client-side deduplication that can be used for the remote office. And when I heard this, I thought, well, maybe that's just part of the way the world works, and no backup product will be able to do that, you know, because possibly the chattiness of the protocol in an application like that is sort of, you know, forced to, you know, to be that way. And in fact, it turns out that that's not the case. Our Tivoli Storage Management development team, the performance test team, has thoroughly tested, you know, every aspect of Tivoli Storage Manager client-side deduplication, including its impact, the impact of wide area network latency on it. And they have the charts to show that, in fact, it's not, you know, adversely impacted to make it unusable. It performs actually very, you know, very well. Our second bullet on there is another attack point I think that's very important, which would probably be the second thing that I'd want you to remember from today's call, is the fact that the backup deduplication simply has limited scalability. Okay, each one of the Pure Disk media servers that you know Symantec can you know hang out on the side of net backup can hold about maybe 30 terabytes of backend data. Okay, so 30 terabytes of data is not sounding too bad. What do you have to do to you know to do that? Well, a minimum of 4 you know CPU cores with a recommended 8-core machine with basically using you know the latest hardware, and you know you got to have a separate you know master server you know to you know to do that. So you know you can see. And the Pure Disk, you know, media servers, actually, you know, what Symantec recommends is and they have the ability to do is have helper servers that can help, you know, crunch the numbers that support, you know, deduplication. Now, these servers can't take over, you know, and access, you know, the media, you know, if that server, you know, can help, and so there really no help in high availability. And so what you've got here is you've got, you know, now they've got maybe what have they got, a 4-tier architecture now? So, I mean, how reliable, you know, is that compared to, you know, depending on a single machine? You know, in the case of, you know, Tivoli Storage Manager, and what Tivoli Storage Manager, one that can support clustering, the you know the Pure Disk servers you know can't even support that you know clustering, so their high availability is you know is pretty suspect. The third bullet on there is just that the Pure Disk you know comes from a particular you know line of thinking of supporting you know Solaris and Windows. They can't support AIX and HP, and that can be important in some environments. We've already talked about that final bullet. So on to 10. So the third attempt, so they can't, on chart 10, so we've established the fact that Symantec has really admitted to their user base that we really can't use, you know, the Pure Disk approach for the client-side deduplication to solve the remote location, you know, backup problem. So, you know, what are they recommending? Well, what Symantec is recommending is even though they wanted to, support only one, deduplication product out there, and they were sort of planning on that, when they found out that they were going to have these, performance issues, they sort of retracted, where they were going, or, shifted a little bit, realistically, to say that, until we can get this fixed, we're advising our customers to use a standalone Pure Disk solution, for the remote office location. So we essentially, Symantec is saying, we want you to, plan, buy, build, and maintain a whole separate backup infrastructure that then you have to integrate in for, tape archive and the rest of it with, NetBackup or whatever you got, in your data center. And that's where they are now. So really, in 98% of the environments that are out there, they've got remote locations. Symantec has to advise having a second duplicate, infrastructure to plan, build, buy, and maintain, and it's one that they have given an indication that they are not going to continue to, to advance. So it's an interim, technology that customers, really can't, won't get much out of in the future in terms of a recoup of their investment in time and effort in carrying that forward. Okay, so what, we talked about the fact earlier that, they are selling, certain things. On chart 11, probably the main thing that they're out there selling is, that they support the latest, VMware, backup. This could be a, a topic, in and of itself, but basically, VMware is very interested in making backups, so it's not the bottleneck for the ability to put a lot of guests, on a physical, host. They want to have as many guests as possible on a single ESX, system. The way that customers are actually running their shops today is, almost all customers are being, fairly conservative and maybe limiting the number of guests to, to 10, at the most per physical, system. In order to have that work efficiently, you can't have 10 systems, creating I/O, trying to back each other up, all at once. And VMware has come up with a second generation of technology now, and their second generation of technology to offload that processing and take advantage of some snap methods, for backup. The reality, of it, in Symantec is, claiming support for the second generation, VMware API, the VADP, and they're pushing it, because they had early support. But the reality of it is that customers today really aren't comfortable, with changing, their backup, methodology. They backup in VMware works fine if you run your backup, on every guest, and especially if you're using, say, client-side deduplication with Tivoli Storage Manager, which really minimizes the amount of I/O that you need to do anyway. Then if you use the scheduling, you never really, run into problems. Okay. Now, eventually, we're going to get to an environment where, customers, are going to want to put, 50, guest machines on a single, physical host, and things will have been worked out, between VMware and all the backup vendors. But we're just, not there yet. And I don't want to take you too far again, into the weeds. But chart 12, lists some of the limitations. Or growing pains, I think, really is a more appropriate word for what is going on, in VMware, backup, today, and the particular, issues that NetBackup, has. Okay, I mean the first issue there, the fact that it doesn't support VM RAID 5 volumes with the SAN transfer type. I mean that makes it pretty unuseful. What are you going to use on RAID 10, RAID 1? RAID 5 is pretty popular, right? The second limitation there is the fact that if you're using the second generation VMware API, you have to have the same number of network interfaces when you restore the system. Well, a large part of the value of VMware is the fact that you want to be able to restore systems from unlike systems to systems of different configurations to maintain your flexibility. That's one of the goals, and you've just taken that ability away. And no customer wants to do that, and that's one of the reasons why most of the customers haven't changed. Another limitation is the use of Pure Disk in certain environments that you can do for yourself. So again, the VMware APIs provide some great help in reducing the amount of data and making VMware backups smoother theoretically. The kinks are being worked out as VMware moves on along. Most customers are very happy today to run ingest backup. Tibly Storage Manager works great with client-side deduplication in today's environment for 99% of the customers that that are out there, and the 1% of the customers that maybe want to push it. It's pretty interesting because when you ask Symantec, well, what are your customers doing that are in that 1%? They'll tell you that they're using replication. From within on each of the guests. The reason that they're using replication is they want to basically spread the overhead out to be sure that scheduling is never a problem. So Symantec's most advanced customers are really not taking the bait there yet. Okay. So that was a lot on backup. Where most of the action is in today's storage marketplace. Why don't we shift over to what's going on in storage resource management real quickly, maybe cover this in about 5 minutes and leave about 10 minutes for questions. Thanks, everybody, for sticking with me in what can be some pretty dense material here. Our assumption here is that when you do have competitive environments, you need an appropriate level of information to come back with. And we're trying to give that to you here. Symantec, we've already talked about the company a little bit, how they attack. Again, just like in the backup market space, they like to talk about the fact they have no hardware agenda. But really what they do is they have a software agenda. They're really trying to defend Storage Foundation, which is, under threat basically from, virtualization, environments, and that sort of cash cow is being sort of, ripped away from them as people are going to VMware. It's a problem for them. So when they say they have no hardware agenda, don't let them get away with that just because you're, selling, IBM, a unified IBM solution. They have a software agenda they want to use as a control point. As a matter of fact, what they're essentially doing in their roadmap is they're going to condense their Command Central SRM product, down into and make it a part of Storage Foundation. And the value they hope to get out of that is to be able to apply some of the command and control things that you can do with the storage resource management to, more effectively manage storage and where activities, take place there. So going on to 14, these statements aren't quite into the weeds. I think some of them are pretty, understandable in terms of being able to communicate them, pretty clearly, with customers and something that they'll respond to. So the first bullet, the host performance, is limited. They're monitoring volumes and disk stats only for the Unix host with where their Veritas Volume Manager, is installed. It's, where they're getting their data source. They haven't put the work in to get the data, otherwise. They can get deeper data from their own thing. So, it makes sense for them and their install base. But it doesn't work in that heterogeneous install base, you know, that we're that we tend to see, you know, out there. Their agent support is limited to what the HVA sees, and of course, TPC has great, you know, what I would call I don't want to call it agentless, because it's not fully agentless, but very lightweight temporary agent, you know, for disk capacity and asset reporting. Third bullet, Command Central really doesn't support the IBM software stack very well in storage. They don't support our heavyweight file system, GPFS. They don't support the HACMP, you know, wide area clustering very well, and they don't support our multipathing software, SDD, you know, either. And that in a storage environment is very, very problematic. You really need to be able to the multipathing software shows you the different paths, you know, in the network that are available to you and how they're behaving. And it's sort of a primary job of your storage resource management product to be able to, you know, see that and let you know what the status is. And if you can't do that, you really can't do what we call CN management, you know, very well. You know, so Command Central is, excuse me, known to be, you know, difficult to use. It's not, you know, me saying it. It's a quote from the Gartner latest, you know, SRM Magic Quadrant, and then you see the corresponding, you know, quote with TPC, and that's because we put a lot of effort in TPC in making it a unified interface and a single, you know, database. And then we've got some great, you know, usability tools on the visual interface, you know, and how you view the topology and work with it that they just don't have. Of course, we support IBM Disk and SVC. And then we have support, you know, for the rest of our, much of our Tivoli software to integrate it in with the rest of the stack. So going on to page 15 real quickly, just a reminder that, you know, we at IBM and Tivoli have a very broad solution set, you know, for our customers that is storage software and quite a bit broader than storage software in terms of the whole service management stack. And that's, you know, we're very proud of that. And we really can bring those puzzle pieces, you know, together. Before we open it up for questions, and I'll turn it back over, and I'll ask Julie to do that in a moment, I'd just like to bring your attention to chart 17. We have competitive information that's available, you know, to you know, the IBMers on the call and through and thus available. To help the business partners as well, working through them. And the website is listed on here at the top of that page. This is a part of what my group does in Tivoli storage software. So, Julie, can we open it up for questions?
Yes, sir, we sure can. And if anybody would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And to withdraw the question, you may press star 2. One moment for the first question, please. We do have one question, sir. Dennis Robertson, your line is open.
Thank you. My question is more related to migrations from, you know, to TSM from competitive products. So what's your thoughts on that? Because typically that's a big deal for customers. So this is a great presentation. I just, you know, migration can be an issue. Just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis, for the question. Migration, you know, is, you know, really, you know, a concern, and it's actually probably made even more complex by the fact that, you know, it's often not just migrating, you know, from, you know, one product, you know, to TSM. You know, often some of the best-selling environments are, you know, multi-product consolidations where it's not unusual for, you know, a customer to have, you know, three or four of the major and even some of the minor backup products, you know, installed because of undisciplined, you know, buying in the data center or, you know, acquisitions, and they didn't get together beforehand and before they got acquired and discussed whether their backup products were compatible. So it can be an issue because the issue is you've got to basically, you know, keep the data around, you know, in the prior format. This has been the previous approach, and then you can scale, and then you have to keep obviously the software, you know, that has been around that can access that, and that's very expensive in terms of, you know, maintenance.
Hey Steve, can I take this one a little bit too?
Yeah, I was probably just going to go there. I'd feel better, actually, if you finished up with the coup de grace on this, because we've got some great news here, I think, is what Jared is about to talk about.
Sure. We have a new agreement with a partner out of the UK that is covering worldwide for us with a product called Backup Migrator that will read in the data from a competitive product, and it's not just Symantec Net Backup, but it does other products as well, and then will process the data and move it into your TSM infrastructure automatically. Now, that's extremely simplifying the process, and there's some gotchas and some heavy-duty information that you have to go through to do this. It's fairly simple, technically, to find out what it will take to do it. And if you're interested, you can send me an email, and I can send you more information on that or tell you where to go. My email is POTSJ, that's POTTSJ, at us.ibm.com, and it's a product called Backup Migrator, which we are just getting ready to start talking about openly in the IBM and partner sales world. So it's coming very quickly.
Okay, yeah, my customer actually is a huge TSM customer, but I mostly wanted to ask that question for other people, so.
Okay.
But I appreciate it.
No worries.
And our next question comes from Rob Hockey. Your line is open.
Morning, Mr. Hockey. Put your quarter in. He's not going to do it.
And Mr. Hockey, just check your mute button.
Hi there. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Are you still in Denmark?
No, I'm not. I'm in the UK. But thanks, Jared, for updating everyone. I was about to tell them exactly the same thing.
And at this time, there are no further questions in queue, sir.
All right, well, Steve, I'll go ahead and wrap us up today. Thank you, everyone, for coming on the call today. We're going to have this available for you to listen to forward to other people in your group. If you have any questions, please send us an email. And, again, if you need the presentation, send an email to dkmorris@us.ibm.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may all disconnect at this time.